Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Hey, we're supposed to have Eddie Hollywood Cardenas on tonight, but due to scheduling conflicts, he had to bow out.
Okay.
So I'm gonna replay an interview with Emilio that Bill and I did. And it's like I want to let people know that a lot of times we talk to the guests the week before.
Right.
And, due to scheduling conflicts, you know, if they got, like Andy last week, he was getting calls from his manager while we were doing a radio show about auditions. So,
right.
Can
I say
one
thing real quick before you do the interview? What
yeah, go ahead.
Did you see last night's show? That
yes.
was amazing. Yeah. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
I try to
I have two or three guys where if I get this guy Friday and by Monday he cancels, then I move to the next guy. Well,
okay.
I had some situations where it all moved different directions, and due to scheduling conflicts, like I said, he's not going to be here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a replay of an interview Bill and I did with Emilio. And this was right after the bad ride, like as you get diabetes ride. So
okay.
I'm going to play that now, and I'll be back intermittently. I'm going to watch as things go on. So if you want to stay right there and listen to it, since you were part of it, feel free to do so.
Yeah, that's fine. He's a good person. He's a good man.
So, here we go. Can you hear that okay?
Yeah.
Grandchildren have to be the future. Do you agree with that, buddy?
I agree.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like tonight. Tonight, you want to tell everybody?
No, 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 no. You set everything up. This is 100% you doing all the work, and you want to share it with me. No, I can't take that. This is something Phil did completely on his own, boys and girls.
Well, what I did, though, was, you know, we were at the Bad Ride, and we always run into Emilio.
See.
And he was, I had told him about the show.
He was the Grand Marshal of the Bad Ride.
Yes,
he led one of the groups down to the dealership, to the big party we were at. We had several celebrities there, too. Mickey Jones was there. We had Willie G. Davidson was there. His granddaughter Karen was there. We had quite a few of us celebrities in there. However, let's focus just initially on that one celebrity you're talking about. Immediately, you.
Right. And I told him, I said, hey, I said, you know, I've been doing this show with Bill for a while. He was really surprised. He said, oh, you mentioned that before, but I didn't think about it. So he thought about it. And he said, you know, I sent him a text, and then he sent me a text back, and he sent me another text, and he said, well, basically, bro, that's what he said. Maybe you want to let everybody know what it says.
Oh, please text me in 5 minutes before he calls. It says, thanks very much, and from Emilio Rivera.
Well, first three words were, I'm in, brother.
Oh, I thought you said brothel. You turned the thing wrong. Oh, brother. Yeah, it turned on me. That the damn thing said brothel. Oh, jeez, I can't talk about that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Emilio. Brother, B-R-O-T-H-E-R. You're in this. Sorry about that.
So,
and it turned a little bit. The light was reflecting it.
Oh, I'm sorry about
That's
that.
That's my story.
Okay. You know, and then we talked a little bit.
Emilio's wife was there, too. What did she
It was her birthday. Happy to be her birthday and let a crowd in. Led the crowd in.
He led the crowd. He got up on stage with him. He wanted to invite everybody to please sing happy birthday to him, which kind of a class act, I thought, you know?
Exactly. And
a lot of celebrities you and I talked to, it's all about them.
It was Mickey Jones. We met Paul Renteria. We met...
let's talk about some music people up there. Get going.
People wanted to go have a butt, you know.
to take a moment here to thank a couple of friends of mine that did such a show up also. One of my friends' name is Shane, and Shane, I want to thank you for coming down and lending some of your being famous to the crowd. Quite a few different clubs are there. We had, I'm going to say Seth was there too. Why my brain did? Seth's with the Thumpers. Sorry, Seth. Thumpers. I get a little down. It's good to see him. I haven't seen him in a while. A lot of different odd chapters from all over came down. Biggs Harley Davis was there. The owner was there, Richard Littlebridge.
Right.
We want to thank, while I'm still talking, Oliver from Glendale Harley Davidson showed up. And let's not forget Willie G. Davidson, who came down and spent most of the day out there shaking hands and schmoozing. And his lovely granddaughter Karen was there today, and she was up there again, same thing, helping out and all that. In fact, while we're doing the bike show, I don't know if you know that Willie G. picked the overall best custom.
Okay.
He got right in the middle of all that. The big as a man is, he's out there, the son out there picking stuff.
And
you know.
Speaking of the man right now.
Hello, Emilio. Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
We're doing good.
You hear me okay?
Yeah, we're fine. You got Phil on the left and you got Bill on the right. Good to talk to you, buddy. Well, let me start off. This is Bill Kennedy speaking. I want to thank you for coming to assist us with the bad ride.
I had a good time, but it was a pleasure, man.
Yeah, but you know what? It's celebrities like yourself, and I know you ain't king of the word celebrities, but people come to the bad ride to donate money, but they come to see celebrities. And
okay.
The fact people like you and Willie G. Davidson was there, Rusty was there. People come out there, shake hands, and talk to people. That's a class act. We appreciate that.
Oh, you got it. But any time, like I said, like I said over there, I'll be there for the next 30 years. God wouldn't even give me that much time. I think it's really important, you know, something that affected my family still has, and probably, you know, I mean, every year somebody's got it, you know, so it's, and maybe tomorrow I get it, you know, you never know, man.
2 years ago, I ended up with diabetes. I made the announcement in there. I don't know if in my lifetime or your lifetime, find a cure for diabetes, but that's okay. All you need to do is find a cure for our children. Our children's got to be the future.
Exactly, well, you know, but also there's a way, you know, we can, you know, curb it, you know, I mean, we can, you know, just, you know, watch what we eat, right, you know, just, it's just about taking care of ourselves, bro, you know what I'm saying, that's one thing I tried as I'm getting older now, my wife, you know, she's always watching me, you can eat that, but in moderation, that kind of shit, you know, I like to eat better, you know what I'm saying, but it makes sense, you know, a lot of times, you know, like, what I've learned from my uncles and my aunts that, you know, if they just eat a certain way and watch what they eat, they don't have to be shooting themselves up, you know what I mean, or if they're just in the pills and to prevent them from doing the incident, they just watch what they're doing, and they're doing okay, you know. Some of them go crazy, though, and some of them have gone, and some of them are shooting themselves a couple of times a day. But it's just it's about taking care of yourself, man, you know.
And abuse, right? Use and abuse.
You know, Bill, I was talking to Emilio about the radio show, and
yeah.
I mentioned to him that, you know, I said, he said, well, sometimes he swears. And we both chuckled at that one, because I told him he could say, if he happens to slip up or whatever, there's no 7-second delay.
Mm.
This is one of the last bastions of freedom where we're allowed to say whatever we want to say. There's no FCC. There's no nothing right now. But they're trying to do that. And sometimes
a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah. Sometimes they'll come into the show and they'll hit the server and play a song, or they'll hit the songs that I have in reserve and they'll play a song while we're trying to talk to someone. So hopefully tonight everything will be okay. But if you happen to slip up or you feel more comfortable saying a swear word now and every now and then, that's fine.
Right now, what we need to do is we need to talk to people from the East Coast to the West Coast, because what affects people in New York today is going to affect us in California tomorrow. Phil, can you tell me how many countries we're in right now?
Right now? Yeah, I can tell you that right
now. Just give me a little background. I'll be people listen to his voice here. Not everybody's going to call and ask questions, but they're going to listen to the show.
Because right now there's 120,911 people.
Listen to his voice. You're not nervous, are you, Emilio?
Not at all, but the more the merrier, bro. You know what I'm saying? The word gets out, you know?
Yeah.
Tell us some of the countries we're in right now, Phil.
Well,
listen to us.
We're in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, the United Kingdom, Russia, France, India, and Brazil.
And?
Taiwan, the United Kingdom.
Hmm. We'll pick up more people on the way. Russia came in now. Good. Denmark's in right now.
Argentina, Ukraine.
Who the hell is calling?
Beautiful, man. Yeah.
Well, you know what these people, the last week just kicked in.
Yeah, a little while ago we had the Isle of Man over there between Ireland and
Every now and then we get one person from China that listens to us. This show is banned in China. Not this show, but all this type of speech is banned in China. Every now and then one man tries to listen to us. We give him a lot of credit for that. We're not talking
cool,
about
man.
The overthrow of the government. We're just talking about people having dialogue, communication back and forth. And if I can say something here, I thought you inviting everybody when you were on stage to join you on stage and sing happy birthday to your wife was a class act, your wife Yadi. I thought that was pretty. You're on stage and yet you took a moment to say, I want to acknowledge my wife's birthday. That was pretty class.
Yeah, you know what? That was really cool, man, because it was, you know, we booked that show a few months back, and when she, you know, she put through all my schedule with me, she'll say, you know, how about this day? And she checks my calendar, does my calendar for me. And then she goes, you know, on July 1st, I go, July 1st, that's your birthday, baby. And she said, you know, it's okay, man. You know, this is really, you know, it's something we need to do. And so she knew that was not going to be her day, but I had her, you know, I made it kind of special. She was touched by that. So I thank you, everybody who was out there that day to see my wife. That was really cool, man. You know, I got a good old lady, man. And, you know, I mean, I'm a nice guy, and everybody thinks I'm a good guy, and I am, you know, at heart, but because I got a great lady behind me, that's what makes me who I am, brother. You know what I mean?
And you know, Bill, you know, I'm gonna put him on the spot here a little bit, but you know, he bought her a present while he was there.
No, I didn't see him give no present.
Yeah, he got her a massage.
Oh.
God, it was a good day. It was a good day. You know what happened the day before that? We were in a parade as well, so it was, we were riding all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and it was just a nice weekend of riding, brother. You know what I'm saying? And from there, we, you know, left with my crew, and we went and had some, you know, some goods on seafood, and it was a good way to end the weekend, brother, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, every day is pretty much, you know, it's, I love my wife, man, I love my boy, you know, pretty much my whole thing is about my family, and so every day is kind of like her birthday, you know, we just like enjoying life, bro, you know what I'm saying?
So, in fact, I believe if your best friend is your wife, you've got a healthy relationship. A woman, your partner, is an asset or a liability. I believe a good woman will lift you up. A bad woman will tear you down. Make sure
you
move you with.
You got that right, because I've been in both places, so, you know, and this one, you know, at the time that I was weak in my life, you know, my wife, she came in at that time, and she brought me up, but, you know, I look like this strong old dude and shit, but, you know, even strong guys get, you know, weak too, man, you know. And she called me, I came with a lot of leverage, man, a lot of baggage, and she hung in there, man, and she got me, you know, like, you know, I got 22 years clean and sober, but when I was 16 years clean, when I first met, I almost went out, but, you know, she was there to pick me up, and I went cool, I'm glad I didn't, you know?
Yeah.
We have some people on hold, though, and I wanna talk to Emilio first, and then we'll open it up.
I got questions here. Something you got to ask me. I'll ask a little later.
Yeah, Bill's got some questions for you.
People came into my motorcycle shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycle. They said, man, you can talk to him today. Can you ask him these questions? So we'll hold it off a little bit, and what do you want to say there?
Well, what I want to say was I'm going to ask everybody that's on hold right now if they can hold on a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about what, you know, how he got started and all that. And
great.
Motorcycles, the old cars, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people want the questions all over, and I get written down questions with that, but wow, where are we at? Let me ask one quick question. You brought your whole crew with you to the Bikers Against Diabetes ride. Now, were all those guys you came with, were they all part of the Mayans from the TV show Sons of Anarchy?
Actually, let me see. No, about three or four of them were. That was like a quarter of my crew, because what happened, a lot of them, they had other functions to go to, and on Saturday we were all together, and four of the guys that were there are some Mayans on the show. Yeah, so that was pretty cool, man. Those, the guys I ride with on the show is pretty much what I ride with in real life, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of class, too, because for some reason the diabetes people called me and said, hey, Bill, can you handle some of this backstage VIP stuff? So I was getting your boys the, you know, the things around the neck and all that stuff, and the badges. Not one of your guys had an attitude. And I'm thinking myself, that's Emilio. They came with Emilio. He don't got no attitude. These guys ain't got no attitude. They were grateful. They're happy to be here, shaking hands and all that. Again, that reflects upon you, I think, brother.
You know, it is, bro, because, you know, if you notice, bro, like, even like Phil is, you know, like, you know, real bad, you know, real dudes are badasses, bro, don't have to show attitude, brother, because you don't want that really to pop out, you know what I'm saying? So it's always be kind, because there's no reason for it, you know. If you want to come out with it, we can do the same shit too, but for what, you know what I'm saying? It's just better to have a good time, bro. So that's the only kind of people I hang around with now, bro, because
just they're people who are quiet, who are cool, are kind-hearted, and just don't talk to them sideways because they will jump. But you know what? They're just cool people. But that's where we are, bro. You know, that's it, man. You know, the tough guy, that guy that wants to park, that's pretty much what it is, the park, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's like a lot of people say about me, Emilio, is I'm the quiet guy in the back of the room you got to worry about.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I mean, and that's what it is in real life. You know, like, he feels it off from the get. You know, he knows, you know, he sees the seat in the eyes, brother. You know what I'm saying? It's just that guy that barks a lot. It pretty much ain't shit. You know what I mean? And that's just the way it is, man. You know, and I've seen a lot of shit, done a lot of shit, bad shit in my life. You know, it's really a waste of time, waste of energy, man. So it's just easier to smile, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of times, like, you know, there's a lot of times, though, like, when I'm at somewhere where he's at and, and I happen to help him out or whatever, and people are, you know, people get anxious when they see people and they get kind of, you know, pushy and stuff. So it's kind of like I know he's noticed that if I just stand a certain way or I stand off to the side somewhere, things kind of calm down and then people, everything rolls at a pace.
You know, I got to tell you, my wife and I worked on my humility. I'm saying this because this is something she brought up to me. She goes, you walk into a room, you got an attitude problem. You think you're God's gift to mankind. You think you're all so handsome.
Okay.
Never forget the fact that you should be humble. This took a long time for me to appreciate that, and it's probably the best thing I've ever done. Whenever I speak in crowds, Emilio, I speak to people. I never speak around it. I never put my chest up. I'll speak to you. I'll give you a chance to speak to me.
Okay.
If you're a man, I'll treat you like a man. But my wife taught me that. She goes, stop walking into the bar like you own it. Walking like you're a man, you'll get the respect. That's something I had to learn from my wife.
When somebody acts like 12 or 10 and crazy, it's kind of comical to me, but it really is. You know, it's just comical to me. It's stupid if you think about it. You know what I mean? So I really can't take anybody seriously. I gotta watch it with the guy that's quiet, the guy that's smiting me, because that's the motherfucker that turns real quick. You know what I'm saying? The other guy just trying to get out some energy, man. You know, some energy. That's all that is. I know because I ran the streets, you know, for a long time. Now. So you kind of figure out, you kind of who you are and what you see and what you do and how everything.
Yeah.
And you see the guys like that, you go, okay, that guy. You dig what I'm saying? And it's like, that's the guys you really got to worry about. So it's, you know what, boys? The respect is respect. It gets right back. You respect the guy no matter who the fuck he is, and you get that mutual respect. You know, two real guys recognize each other real quick. You know what I'm saying? It's the fool that's going to be a fool, and he's going to look like a fool at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's, you know, he's just like, I mean, I really appreciate this guy taking me under, you know, taking me into his world, and I'm taking him into our world today by doing this. And I'd like him to be a regular every once in a while if he's got something going on.
You're in the neighborhood anytime you call and talk to us. Please give us an idea of what you're doing and all that. Yeah, you certainly don't take drugs or alcohol anymore. And I got to tell you...
Well, we're both cleaning. The three of us are clean and sober.
When I walk into a bar, and I stop in at least two or three bars a week, and I get a pineapple juice or they give me some Coke, the waitresses, the barmaids, it's almost comical.
Yeah, Coca-Cola, though.
Coca-Cola, correct. I'm actually rather Pepsi if I can get it. But I walk in a bar, and the volume goes down. The drunks try to act more sober. Barmaids say, thing in the world, Bill's here, try to act sober. You know what, I'm not here to make somebody have a bad time. I'm just trying to tell people it's okay not to get messed up. You make your own choice. I'm not sure you. You make your own choices, but I'm saying it's okay to go to a bar and not have a drink. So what
exactly? Yeah, that's funny, you know, and I sometimes the same way too with me. You know what I'm saying? Exactly what you said right now. And I don't want to waste up having a good time because, you know, I remember when I was getting loaded, man, you know, I would have a good time. You know, I was having one as long as I couldn't control it. So a good time later on would be a two-day blackout, you know what I mean? So, you know, if you can, you know, go ahead and have a good time. I mean, if people do the same shit, they kind of like ghost it, you know, slow down a little bit, don't act so stupid. But, have a good time. You know, see, I'm not here on a preach to preach nobody. I wish I could grab everybody the fucking shirt and say, dude, give sobriety a chance, but that's not what I'm here for. You know, so I can talk to you about it, but
over the years, we've seen people, and basically a lot of times where Bill and I happen to be, there's always an unmarked car there, and those guys are waiting for somebody to walk out of the bar and get on their bike, and we'll either take the keys or we'll buy the guy a tire just because we don't want to be on
it. You guys are good homeboys, man. As you should, that's a good one. You guys are good dudes, man. You know, as everybody's too for their homeboys, you know, the people they ride with, you know. Yeah, man, that's, they look out for each other, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because I've had a lot of my friends, when they take off, you know, they weren't as fortunate, or just going to jail. They lost their lives, you know what I mean? I know I lost, like, 8 in 2 years, you know what I mean? And that's because, you know, you get put in mind, the road seems they really deep to spit that name, and, you know, just because your mind's saying it can, but, you know, with the body and the bike and those two different things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, between cancer and stupidness last year, what was it, 22 guys?
Yeah, we lost an awful lot of people.
Fuck.
Because, they say this here, last week there was an old motorcycle club here in San Diego called the Iron Horseman. And for some of you people listening to my voice, you recognize it. Stan the Man finally succumbed to his injuries. Another motorcycle club here in Southern California, also it's called the Muscaleros, going back in the 60s and 70s. One of their guys named 40, not 40 anymore. He's way older than 40 now. He also passed away. So every day of my life, I have more and more people passing away. And I tell people, I have more people in the cemetery that I call brothers than I have friends on the street. Because friends on the street,
No. You know what? It's cliche, but saying, you know, about 44 of my partners over the years, that's just my street partners from the neighborhood, from the old neighborhood. You know, now it's a whole new different realm with a whole different club now with my people I hang with now. You know, I mean, just, you know, people I've just known for the past 8, 10 years, you know what I mean? And it's sad, man. You know, it's something that can be prevented. You know what I mean? Some of the shit, you know, the gang violence, some of the fucking ODs, you know, that could have been prevented too. But, you know, that was a secret. Even that lifestyle is, you know, bound to happen, you know. But on this other stuff, you know, there's people that are dying because they were drinking and riding, you know, something. I'm not saying anything cool. I mean, I've been running for 37 years, bro. You know, and don't get me wrong, I was always on the fucking road on fucking acid, PCP. You know, I didn't my bike go down one time just because to see what it feel like. You know what I mean? I mean, I've done the stupid shit too, bro. You know, I mean, it's just I had me out on my side watching my bike all the time. It's been a trip, you know.
Yeah, yeah. My grandmother, she passed away many years ago. I kept saying to grandma, all this wars were in here. I don't know what the hell's going on. And my grandma say, don't worry about it, Bill. God's not done with you yet. That's why you're still here. And, well, I don't belong to any Christian bike club or anything. In fact, my Christian friends say I'm a work in progress.
Yeah,
I believe grandma's got it right.
They say the same thing about me, too, Bill.
Maybe God's not done with me yet. Maybe that's the reason I'm still hanging in here, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm here for a reason, brother. You know what I'm saying? It took me a long time to recognize that, but I believe that now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we got no time to know when, you know, we're going to check out when God tells us to check out, but we're going to be able to set that date. You know, we've got support already planned, you know. And we are here for, we have to leave that. I really do, man, you know.
Exactly.
Well, the big things I've learned about when I became clean, sober, and all that stuff is that I can do something 100 times. I do it 99 times right, and everything is okay. I do it wrong one time, and people hold that against me. So I've learned
to help myself. And you know what, that's something to live by, brother. That's, you said it, you hit it right in the nail. You know, I have a homeboy of mine, and he's doing 15 years in the joint. He was a really coming up boxer, man, you know, big time, you know, great boxer. And you know, and he sat down one time with me, and, you know, he stopped boxing, you know, he stayed on the street, laying in the street, he was sleeping in the street. And he was holding pictures of himself, you know, when he was holding the belt, you know. And I talked to him, and he goes, hey, you know, hey, Dad, you know, can you take care of these for me? And I go, I'll be an honor to take care of these for you, brother, because, you know, we've been together for a long time in the street. And he goes, you know what, man, all the good stuff I did, he goes, you know what, you're doing good, man. You're doing good with this acting thing. People look up at you. He goes, but you know what, man, don't fuck it up, man, because you know what, all the good numbers that one fuck up that you ever did, none of the good things you did, but that one time you fuck up, they're waiting, there's the part that they're waiting for you to fuck up, you know what I'm saying? So don't, you know what I'm saying? He told me that, but don't. And he took us like 8 more years to go. And, you know, and that always stuck in my mind. So I know you said it in a different way, but it's still the same meaning. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like
that one, they always remember that one fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
All that good shit you could done, bro. All that shit that you did for the people, or even did for yourself. And then that one fuck up, bro. And that's all they're going to remember, bro. It's a fucking trip, you know?
It's true. That's
really, man.
True.
Yeah, man. You know, so you just do good, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay out of the fucking trouble and stay away from the temptation, you know what I'm saying? Because it's always going to be there, you know? And I know, I mean, it's always in my side, you know what I mean? I know there's temptation all over the motherfucking place, bro, but I love what I got. I love my family, you know? You know, don't get me wrong, boy, no shit. You know, it's not so much the alcohol that fucked me up. It was the heroin and the other shit that fucked me up, you know, that I like a lot, you know? And sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, I'll go film somewhere, you know? And don't get me wrong, I'm an addict for life, but sometimes people, they, you know, they offer you shit, and And you know, that just crosses your mind, you know, but I think about it and say, you know, man, that one fucking one time I'm going to put a fucking, you know, arm again just to give it a little taste. That'll be the one where I will be, and all people going to think, oh, that motherfucker was screwing up the whole time. You know what I mean? That's how it works, brother. So you got to be real cool, man. Think about what you got to think about, what's really makes you tick, what makes you happy, you know?
You got to prioritize. You got to think about your family.
Exactly, bro. That's number one, you know? Bro, you know?
Family. You go, goddamn, that's my priorities right there. My family. I got responsibilities.
Well, you know, bro, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say here, but when people had text me and stuff and asked me about, hey, well, where can I find out about this guy? So I told them to Google you. There's a lot of people at work. A lot of the younger guys know who you are. A lot of the older guys came and asked me, hey, I heard this. Yeah, he's going to be on the show tonight. Cool. I'll tune in. But where would I find out any about him that I could see what's going on? So I showed Bill. I put this up when I got home. And it says that you discovered that turning your life around is the key to making your dreams come true.
Yeah, that's an IMDb. That's what we changed. We signed my website coming up pretty soon. It's being good as we talk right now. And I'll come on a later day on the show, probably the next month, and I'll let you know where to go to and find out all this stuff. And, you know what, man? You know, yeah, man. And you say that's got to be updated. But, you know, I got into gangs, you know, when I was 12 years old, man. We were early on, you know, and I was raised in that family, you know, tough guys. You know, my dad was tough. All my uncles were tough. And they wanted, you know, it was always like building that soldier, you know, that strong motherfucker that, you know, fuck everybody up, you know. And we, you know, we kicked each other's asses. You couldn't lose that. You couldn't lose a fight in the street because you get your ass at home. You know what I mean? And so what happened? You know, I was bred to be a badass woman in the street from my own family. You know what I mean? My own father, and even more so in the street, always fighting. You know? And but then I got to the point. By the time I was 14, I was like, I became a monster, bro. It's like a pit bull. Once you get the blood, you just want more of it. And I got off. I'm not saying get off. I look forward to fucking somebody up. You know what I mean? It was weird.
I grew up on the West. Bill's from Boston, from South Boston. I'm originally from the west side of Chicago. And I lived down by the projects when I was a kid. So I have a lot of character. But
his nose goes to one side.
I learned how to box at an early age.
Not very well, though. I've seen it. I don't hold my left arm high enough.
That's funny. That's funny. And what happened, I was a late bloomer with the drugs, man, because, you know, I was an athlete. All this time I was an athlete, and by the time I was 17, I took me shit drugs to do a bit of acid and shit like that, you know, a bit of speed. And then all of a sudden, that just made me more valuable, you know what I'm saying? So now I was, my high was to get high and hook up people, you know what I mean? I mean, it made me feel good to fuck people up, you know, it was really weird, man, you know, and then I fucking went into the service. I got busted. Either go to jail back in the day, back in 79, go to jail or go to the fucking army, you know, Marines. And I got busted for an assault, so I went into the army instead, you know, instead of going to jail. And then I went there, and I was that fucking model soldier, bro, because I already came in with my shoes signed, because I was writing a speech, shoes signed, I can increase now. And I was a great athlete, but the only problem I had was I couldn't take orders. I was great for basic training, fucking Dallas flying colors. When it came to permanent party, I found out that it was just a job, and I wasn't so much like a fucking pulling rank. You know, if you pull rank, you're just being a fucking asshole. And I was an MP in the Army, and about 10 months into it, you know, I let my sergeant have it, man. You know, So, you know, they put me in a mental institution because, you know, what I did to him, you know, you're not supposed to do it. And I ended up pretty much basically fucking him up real bad, you know. And I told him to take off his rank, but he didn't do that, so I just went off on him. But it was just what I learned from the streets, you know what I'm saying? It was just, you fuck with me, I'm going to fuck with you back. You know, it didn't matter what, we were the Army, wherever we were at. That's just where it was with me. And so, you know, I did a couple of weeks in a mental institution. At a 30-day, you know, discharge, so that worked out. I ended up with a dishonorable discharge. And now I came out of the service. You know, a train killer now, you know. So now I was doing my shit even better when I came out, you know. So it was actually disastrous, you know, because now you had this fucking cold-blooded motherfucker coming out, knowing what the fuck to do, you know.
You know, one thing that I learned getting out when I started put myself into making some dollars, my brothers and I started Kennedy's Custom Cycles, and I started busting my ass, making things work. All the druggies used to come in town. And I'd fix their bikes and all that, and they laugh at me. at the bars that laughed me everywhere because they'd say, Bill, we make more money in one drug deal than you make in a month. God damn, why you wasted your time? One would tell you now, 20 years have gone by, 30 years have gone by, these guys come into my shop and they say, Bill, I don't got a pot to piss in. All that drug money went to lawyers. We laughed at you, but we're not laughing at you any longer. You made a life, you gave you a respectable name, you kept your wife, your family together. These are the priorities we should have took. We should have paid attention to. We didn't. Easy money, drugs, but it all went. And we're not laughing at you anymore, Bill. So I learned a hard lesson.
That's just a story I've heard many years. You know, that's one thing about my opinions. Since I was 8 years old, I've been working in my city, in my household. School is important, which teens do not take. The learners see school is the most important thing. But in my family, school wasn't important. Just having a job that you can go to every day was important. So I was working since I was 8 years old, paying rent since I was 8 years old. And that's one thing I've always had a job. I was always able to maintain it. I was a functional addict, you know what I'm saying? And, shit, I was a mechanical engineer, bro, for fucking 14 and a half years, you know? And but the place that I worked in was in my neighborhood. So I would fuck up as much as I could because they couldn't fire me because they were afraid to fire me because they were located in my neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? You ran that plant, but I ran the street. So you couldn't do nothing to me. So I ran amok, you know, for a lot of years, but, you know.
So you got a wife, and you got a daughter. Do you have any sons at all?
Excuse me?
You said you have any sons? Just a daughter.
No, I have two sons. I'm 29, 31, and a daughter who's 30. And
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I got a daughter. This is my question. My father was hard. I was on this. My father died when I was 18. I've been on my own my whole time. I had a daughter, and I feel I'm blessed to have a daughter because I'm afraid I might have been too hard on my son. Now, let me ask you, growing up and the lessons your father taught you, how tough are you on your son?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something, brother. My son, well, my mom, my, you know, my father and my son, they were here apart, and they saw fucked up shit, bro. They see me, you know, the cops dragging me out of the house. They see me kicking people in the head while they were already knocked out in the street. They seen some fucked up shit when they were, and I got kids over when they were 7 and 8. So what happened was they got kind of scared straight to not do what I did growing up in the neighborhood, you know. So when my son was 14, I told him, go, this is the time that when neighbors will come to you and say they want to get you in. I go, when they want to tell you that, you tell them to come and see me. Well, I was a very well known guy in the hood, so we never got that call. You know what I'm saying? So my son grew up pretty much gang free, gang, you know, because his dad was one of the main guys, so he didn't have to worry about that too much, you know. But I remember when he was 15, he would say, hey, man, so my friend got in the gang, and I would sit down with him, and I'm going to say, okay, remember your friend right now, because like four of them got in, and 1 year from now, you tell me where they're at. And two of them had died, and one got 8 years, one got 15 years. And that was just four guys in 1 year, bro. I go, because I knew what it was. And you know what I did with my son, though, is I punished my son. Like, when I knew the streets were hot, because I always got the word, you know, someone's decision's going down, and it's going down, I would always find a reason to punish my son. So I go, you know what, you're down for 3 months. Because usually when the streets are hot, they last for about a month or two, you know. And I was trying to use it to punish him. And literally I was saving him, bro, you know, being in the street. And I knew, because, you know, just playing basketball, playing handball, you can still get shot in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? So I knew when it was hot, he was punishing. And I really think he realizes now that I saved his life, man. You know what I'm saying? In that kind of way. You know, in my own way, you know?
Yeah, I've done that with a couple of people right now. We're working with a guy right now, aren't we, Bill?
A lot of work with guys with post-traumatic stress coming back from overseas. A lot of these guys, if they were bikers before they went in the military, and now they come back and the marriage is bad and their head's tight. They were motorcyclists before. They can hang out at the bike shop by osmosis. Being around the motorcycles, it kind of brings them down, relax them a little bit. Then eventually, they'll say, hey, man, I got a question. But there are times people walk in my shop and say, hey, man, there's a guy sitting in the corner just staring. I said, that's all he can give right now. He'll start talking when he's available. So do you realize that Phil and I are both vets, too, and we got to get back to the vets where we can?
Yeah, man. Fucking hey, that's where I swear we'll hit them, man. Mm-hmm.
If I can leave the world just a little bit better than I got in, I'm all right, I think, you know?
Like, Bill, I showed Bill one of the things in your resume from the Renegade TV series.
Yeah.
And during the 80s, Bill and a bunch of guys were on that show.
But I get robbed every time. I'm always the guy behind the bars. I'm always the guy in the prison. I'm saying that now, Lorenzo and I were okay, but Bransky and I were very, very tight. What the hell? He said, Bill, with your face.
That's funny, man.
You're just not the pretty boy. You belong on the radio, Bill, but every time I'm on the show, well, I'm the guy in prison.
That's why people tell you you got the perfect face on the radio show.
That's funny. Actually, that was my first gig ever back then. That was back in 92. And Branscombe was a really cool cat, man. That was one of the nicest men I've met in the Hollywood, you know?
And I seen him not too long ago, and he remembered my nickname. Not my name, but my nickname.
What's
you
that?
Know, we were up at Cushing.
And I thought that was, yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
Before we went to Hawaii, we were up at his house up there in... not Calabasas, but Woodland Hills, I think it was. And we were there having a party and all that. The next morning, Branscombe's in the kitchen making breakfast. Now, he's got people in his property. He's got the tennis court, and he's got the trees that are all landscaped like weird animals. Branscombe is making breakfast for us. And I'm thinking...
That's the kind of guy he is, brother. That's the kind of guy he is, man.
We've kept friendship over many, many, many years. I mean, in fact... I always break his balls because where we go together, I asked him, because I got a receipt in hairline. I go, can you tell me where you got that toupee, Prince? Because he goes, fuck you, it's my real hair.
Yeah, he has good hair. He got out of that hair, brother. Shit.
Yeah, everybody, yeah. You've probably never seen me without a bandana on, but I have a full head of hair.
Yeah, I've never seen you.
But we have this, on my blog, on my website, up in the corner underneath the picture of Rusty and T-Rod, there's a picture of me, Bernie, and Bill. So one day, it was up for a couple of weeks, and nobody really said anything until one day I got an email asking me, is that you, your dad, and your grandpa?
I got long white hair. And, yeah, I've got a hard life, so yeah, I look
at you. You met Bernie.
That's cold.
Bernie was the guy from the County Boys, the president you met the other day.
Was that right?
People thought he was my dad, and Bill was my grandpa. I told him it wasn't true. It was just three friends.
It's funny, man.
I've got so many questions. Do you want to bring some people a few questions?
Yeah,
I'm going to hold off my questions. There's people that ask me, and I've got to ask you for a minute, please. But we got some people that are really being patient.
Right.
Do you mind if I talk to a few of your fans?
Of course, brother. Please bring them on, brother.
Right now we have Nora out of Chicago, and we have Alicia out of Pennsylvania.
Hey,
ladies.
Hi.
Please introduce yourself.
How are you doing? Nora, go ahead and go first. Any questions,
hi.
Jeff? Emilio.
Okay. First, hi, Bill. Hi, Phil.
Hey, little girl.
Emilio, it's an honor to speak with you. I watch the show.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
That's very nice of you.
And I always anticipate the next season. Anyway.
You know what? Whatever you think it's going to be different. You know what I mean? I'm telling you right now. It's pretty crazy.
No, I know. Like I said, it's wonderful because there, you know, it was a show at first. You know, I wasn't sure if I would like it or not. But when I start watching, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, this is good. Anyways, what I wanted to ask is, what made you decide to go into acting? I'm sorry, I came late into the show because it's very hot here, and I had to hurry up and get my dogs in and out before the called in on the show.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to do it since I was in third grade. You know, and I was a big time stutterer, man. You know, I used to stutter big time, and I told my dad, you know, I did a play one time when I was in third grade, and I didn't stutter one time only because I knew what the hell I was going to say. You know what I mean? So I felt like I had pride in myself, and I told my dad I wanted to be an actor. He goes, acting's for rich white people. So I got sidetracked and threw me off guard, and I didn't expect that answer, and so I just ran, you know, with the gangs, you know, in the neighborhood. And, you know, and I noticed that being in the neighborhood, you had to put on acting all the time, because there was times in my life where I had a gun on each side of my forehead, you know, on my side of my temples, and I'm telling motherfuckers, go ahead, motherfucker, pull the trigger, and, you know, he had to push that face. Really inside, I was crying. I didn't want to die, man, but I had a soul and I didn't give a fuck, you know what I mean? And what happened, you know, when I came sober, I said, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot, because I've done so much shit on the street where I had to, you know, fucking act to stay alive. I'm going to try it over here, and you know what, it worked out, man. It really worked out for me, you know. It just,
the speech in my life has been the big training, the best training I ever got in my life, you know? Because in speech, you weren't convincing, you were going to die. Over here, if I'm not convincing, I just say, I'll go on to the next project. I mean, there's no pressure. You know what I mean? So
right.
it really just makes it easier, you know?
You know, there was a movie that I thought they should have put you in. It was a fantastic movie, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. Blood In, Blood Out.
You know what?
It was a fantastic movie.
Really, I like that movie a lot. It was miscasted because that's the style, that's the life I come from. So I'm very nitpicky about, just like a real biker who's been a real biker who's been a biker all his life. He sees a biker show, and if he don't believe it, because he thinks about that's the way I am about gang life, because that was my lifestyle. So that movie was great. It was just miscasted. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I'm going to be directing a movie in March next year, God willing, and that's one thing I'm going to be. It's really nitpicky because I live the life, you know.
Right. You know, with what I've heard, once I chimed in on the show, because I came in about 10 minutes late, so there was 10 minutes I didn't catch. Now, in regards with, you know, your wife growing up, and you had such a rough life, and the choices that you made, has that changed in regards to your way of being an actor? Like in the show of Sons of Anarchy, or if somebody were to come and give you, what do you guys call it? A script. Where is that how you choose in regards to movies that you would like to be in, whether if it were TV or if it were to go into a theater? Do you go by because of how your life was growing up?
Well, no. As far as what I do, with the roles I take, is that it's real simple. What I do is cause it on subtext. I just go back to somewhere in my life. Everything I've done on TV and film, I pretty much have done it in real life somewhere, one way or the other. And I just go back to that time and make it. So what you see, what I put up on screen would be real, because that's how I experienced it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always drawing from my past. And when some stuff, most of the stuff in my past that was bad, will always live in my, I can draw from it because I can see it like it happened yesterday, you know what I mean? Especially in the past stuff. So, and most of the stuff I do on film or TV is bad, so I just go there and it's going to be as real as it gets. But maybe sometimes you don't think it's real, because in real life, it's not as extravagant like they make it in the movies, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I just try to keep it as real as I can, you know?
Well, from what I've seen in movies that you've been in from when you first started in Renegade and, you know, other shows as well, plus movies, I'm not an expert, you know, but from what I've seen, you did a fantastic job. And good thing about it is you've got a good, solid support behind you. You know, in regards to your wife, your family, you know, your close friends, you know, and it's good to have that solid support behind you.
It's the best thing to have. It's my mom and my brothers and my wife and my son, they're my biggest fans, you know what I mean? And I love the fans, man, you know, but my family, you know, it will always be first. And you know, they've seen the crazy guy, you know, running down the street with a rifle, you know, just because he wanted to. Nobody was saying that when I grew up. Everybody was scared of saying, I could do whatever I wanted, because nobody was saying nothing, because I might come at you, you know. And they seen that craziness just going to just a mellow dude who wants to try to help people, you know what I mean? So they're not only happy for me for what I do now, but it's just happy that I'm around and I'm alive, you know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, because like I said, you came from such a different background, and it's a blessing you're still here. There's a reason why you're still here, so your job isn't done yet. That's how
exactly.
I look at it.
But you know, but my neighborhood, I go to my neighborhood five times a week. I visit my mother just about every day, you know, so I'm there every day. I mean, I spent 4th of July there in my neighborhood last night, because in my neighborhood, every street is like 4th of July, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we light up the sky, even though we're not supposed to. The cops don't say shit. They'll stop there and park and watch it, because what he would do is stop the whole block and the whole neighborhood.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just they know. I mean, it's not that. It's that the officials we come from is not what the people, the cops really care about. What happens here, you know what I mean? But that's my stomping ground. I lived there all my life since I was 65. And that's home, man. You know what I mean? That's where I'm comfortable most. You know what I mean?
Well, we got some other guests. Can we have you stick around a little bit so we can bring more people in?
Oh, no, that's fine.
Thank you so much, Nora.
You're very welcome.
Hang around, Nora. Of course, you called the show many times. I never said anything nice about me like that, but don't know the deal. Don't worry about it. I'm just...
and you know that.
So who we got next? Let's jump in here.
Well, we have Alicia on the line.
Alicia, and out of what state is that?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Alicia.
No
foreigners
tonight. Okay,
then. Alicia? Hi, how are
you?
Good.
You're live.
Anything you want to speak to Emilio about?
Yeah, I don't know. Bring Nora back in. I don't know, Emilio. I am Alicia Pleasure. I do adult film. And I don't know, Nora, would you like to see him in some of our, like, my type of movies rather than mainstream?
Oh, wow. Who wouldn't? I'm sorry.
Oh, they have to pick up off the ground now.
That's fun, man. That's great. I love that.
Oh, we never know who's going to call it, Emilio.
That's all right. That's okay, I know I watch those films all the time. We're all good, man. Don't worry about it. We're all good.
There you go. And maybe we can get Dr. Love in a scene also.
Oh, and then have Dr. Love, you know.
That's got to be from way down.
That would be a blast.
Oh, yeah. I did not miss your show Tuesday. I was there. I was just in the... I couldn't do the chat, but I was listening to it. I was busy doing other things, so I was there.
Let me ask you questions that some of the my customers came to the bike shop. They came and asked me to ask you. Number one, are all the bikes personally ridden by the Mayans? Are they personal motorcycles, or are they owned by the television studios?
Those are all our bikes, bro. And mostly, like, most of the guys, like I said, most of the Mayans are my friends. You know, pretty much the guys I ride with, that's how we all ride, pretty much with eight hangers, you know. I have a few bikes, you know what I'm saying? So I use two of my bikes on the show as well. So one of my friends doesn't have eight cameras on his, he uses mine, you know?
There you go. That question I got here was, what about when there's a damage on the set? Do you have mechanics on the set full-time, or how do you deal with that? Just motorcycle?
We got like four of them. There's one guy named Johnny in particular. Let me close the door. Hold on, my dog's barking. Hold on.
Chaos.
Oh, God,
when
my dog barks, everybody can hear it. I have like a half beagle, and she's got a very distinct bitch.
Sorry about that. Yeah, you know, I know there's a guy, Johnny. Johnny keeps everything intact, man. He's always on, you know, and everything, you know. Because the son, although they do have their own bikes off on camera, the bikes they use on the show are from the, you know, from the set.
Did Johnny get his own bike shop?
No, Johnny just
for
the movies, you know. The movies and TV shows, so they hired him for the show, and he does a good job. He's always on, you know. And the bike I ride, if I leave it there overnight for the weekend, when I go to set, it's going to be polished stuff. But that guy's all the way around, good guy.
Because you remember when back when they had Renegade, they had Lorenzo had two motorcycles, and one was up and one was down, one was up and one was down. First time I came on the set, I turned the corner, it was a broken bike. The mechanic was trying to fix it. I said, you know what, if I get on this side of the bike, we can get this done real quick. And since I didn't charge him for my services, they wanted me on the show all the time. Oh, yeah, come on back, Bill. Stay behind the bars and fix vehicles.
Well, you could have made some good money there, Bill, you know what I'm saying? Because those studio people paid good money, man, keeping the bikes up. Those were the cars, regardless of what it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't know any better. I was just having a good time and all that. And plus, I made some great friends, including my good friend Lorenzo No Show Llamas. And Peter said, I said Lorenzo No Show Llamas. That poor guy missed more programs than I can recall that. But I've never, ever had a negative thought toward Branscombe, no matter where we've been, different parts of America and all that. That's a stand-up guy, 100% there. Not that I had a problem with Lorenzo, but Branscombe was a special guy for me.
Yeah, he is, brother. He really is, man. You know, I remember, like, Renegade was my first gig, man. And I remember, you know, in my eyes, Branscombe, you know, had been working a lot to me. He was a star. And he was the star of the show with Lorenzo. And I got there that morning, and he was there. There was the man sweeping around the trailers, and he went over there and helped the guy with a dustpan.
He helped him throw the trash away. I mean, I was watching this guy going, man, this is good. So whatever, you know, I saw him, I go, I'm going to take. And that's the best acting lesson I've ever had in my life, though, was watching him, how he treats the people, no matter if you were an actor or if you were the guy sweeping the floor, he treated everybody the same. And that's how I am with everybody in my life and also in my acting world, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's too many fucking attitudes. You know, there's too many fucking attitudes on the fucking set, bro. I ain't going to be one of those, you know what I mean?
Did you catch any of Lorenzo's concerts? He's quite a good singer and everything.
Well, I haven't, but I see Lorenzo on the rise, and I knew Lorenzo. He remembered me from Renegade Games 21 years ago, and I remember that. Of course, I'll never forget that. And, we, you know, we get along good, man. He's a good cat. You know?
Quite talented. You know, I always kid, I keep telling him, how's your voice tonight? Because I'll fill in for you. He goes, geez, Bill, I'm okay tonight, but thank you for the offer. So it's a standing joke between him and I.
That's cool.
About his band, showcased all his talent in his band. Drummers, guitar players. I mean, he gives everybody a piece of the action up front. It's not like hog in the scene. He sings
very
with a,
cool.
You know, part of that humility.
Very cool, bro. Yeah, I like to hear that stuff, you know.
Go ahead.
I just want to know if you did your own
stunts. I pretty much do all my own fights. I do my own scripts. When they shoot me, I blow scripts on. I do all that. The only thing I won't do, I won't jump off a plane, you know. I won't jump off a building. I might miss a target, so I don't want to do that. And I won't set myself on fire. I've seen some guys, even real professional stuntmen, set on fire and get burned up pretty bad. So that I won't do. But, of course, the fights, I love fighting, and I love getting shot, you know. Yeah.
I have three stunt doubles,
so they will do for life. And even though I don't need them, I will call them in because they still get paid for the day, and they know they're just going to watch me. You know what I mean? But at least I get them a day gig for the, you know what I'm saying? So I will call them in.
You know, the last guy that got thrown off the roof on the Suns, I introduced Bill to.
Andy
McPhee. He's also a good friend of mine.
Good guy, man. Andy, he's a real cool cat.
When I introduced Andy to Bill, this is what Bill told him. Do you remember what I told him?
See, now,
this is funny.
I'm from South Boston, Ireland. Okay, came from Boston. My grandparents and my parents on both sides, everybody took the same boat, Galway Bay, Ireland, to Boston. I'm the first one to come out here. So my being Irish, my being Catholic, I'm very proud of where I'm from.
Yeah.
Well, now I got this dime dropping Irish guy, president of a club, setting everybody up, and for punishment, they threw him off the roof. Talking to him, and I'm getting a little bit irritated. Because how can you take a role like that when, you know, you're a dime dropper and, you know, you deserve getting thrown off the roof? I said, in fact, I'm about ready to throw you off the roof right here. And Andy said to me, he goes, say something to you. He said, first of all, I'm Australian. I'm not Irish. I'm an actor, Bill. Belfast, there's no chapter, Bill. And he said, third of all, and most important for you to know, I am a professional wrestler in Australia, Bill. Think about all these thoughts.
That's funny.
And I let Andy walk away, because that's the kind of guy I am.
That is hilarious, you know what I mean? But you know what? One thing about jumping off the way back around the building, he did it with dignity. You know what I mean? He's like a bitch. You know what? He knew he fucked up. And you know what? It's time to go. He fucked up. You know what I'm saying? So, even though he was all that, he ratted, he was a fucked up dude. Excuse my language, fuck, here I go again. But he took it like a man. You know what I'm saying? He knew he had it coming. You know what I mean? He knew what had to be done, and he did it, man. You know? And that was good. I like that part of his character. You know what I mean? He was
a good friend.
Exactly. And that happened at Rusty's shop, at one of Rusty's open houses. And I happened to tell Rusty that story. By the time he finished laughing, he goes, Bill really did that?
I was going to throw him off the roof.
I said, yeah, he was looking for the ladder to get up on the roof. He wanted to invite him up there and throw him off the roof again.
That's pretty fucking funny, bro. But there's some people, man, they really take it to the heart. Like, I mean, we go through these signings some places, you know? And we'll be there with, me, Charlie, and a few of the other guys, you know, Theo and Tig. And then people will wait in different nights to get our autographs. And there'll be some people there, like the lady will go, oh, I want his autograph, and then her husband would be like, he's the enemy. We don't get his autograph. That kind of shit. You know, talk about, dude, I'm just fucking acting, bro. I mean, you know, but some people take it serious, bro. You know, I'm the fucking enemy, and that's it. We will get all sons of anarchy's autographs, but we will not get Marcus Alvarez's autograph. He's the bad guy, you know? It's a trap, bro. They take it seriously, man.
Yeah.
all the guys were there. And I happened to sit down with Tig and Charlie and what's the old guy's name?
With the oxygen.
Yeah. We sat down with them, those three, and we were talking, and then people came up and wanted to take pictures and stuff, and they actually said, "Hold on, we're in the middle of a conversation. Can you let us finish, and we'll do whatever you want."
That was real nice of them.
And that was, and they did exactly what people asked they would do after we were done with the conversation.
You know, when they were shooting the movie, and we're doing those scenes about Ireland with the Sons of Anarchy Belfast chapter, my family's from Galway Bay, Ireland, both sides of the same town, and I spoke to the guys, you know, I'm not interested in doing a scene or shots, but I'm willing to pay my own way to Ireland if you let me be in the scenes in Ireland. And they said to me, "Bill, that shot in Los Angeles." I went, no. They said, "Well,
that's funny,
scene,
man.
I thought it was Ireland. I wanted to go home to the country. I wanted to be in it." And he said, "Well, we're just shooting in L.A., so I wasn't in it." Disappointed.
The magic of Hollywood, brother. You know what I'm saying? That's funny.
Exactly. But, you know, it's like, so you're playing Marcus Alvarez, and you're the founder of the Mayans. You're the president of its Oakland chapter, you know, and it's really good that Bill and I think about this in real life, Emilio. The way the guys are coming together on the show is the way we all need to come together on the outside world. Because if we don't, we're going to lose.
Well, you know, it's real simple, but you know, like, you know, as I grew up old, growing up in the gang life, and, you know, and then just seeing life and finding out it was just really a waste of time. In reality, bro, look at this. This still tower over here, man. All the gangs we follow, the different gangs we have over here fighting each other. Like some of the motorcycle clubs that fight each other. The fucking North Korea came over here right now, brother, and dropped a bomb. And they came here and fucking just dropped a bunch of motherfuckers over here, try to shoot us down. You think they're gonna still fight? They're actually gonna fight each other? No, we're gonna band the fuck together, bro. And we're gonna fucking start taking motherfuckers down. You dig what I'm saying? Gangs will get together and kill each other all their fucking lives, and we start shooting these motherfuckers. I'm not pinpointing any fucking country. I'm just giving this an example. It could be any fucking country. You dig? But you think we're gonna still be helping these motherfuckers kill each other? No, we're gonna band together, which we should always be. Well, what fucking we're United States, brother. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's just the way. I mean. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's going to might take that for motherfuckers to wake up. You know what I mean?
Emilio, you were at the party Saturday. You noticed we had two major clubs there that have been at war for some time. And you noticed that they both just nodded at each other. And
they actually shook hands. So.
Yeah, I don't
get it. As they should be, brother. You know what I'm saying? Really, man. You know, believe me, bro. I've seen a lot of death, but I know Phil's been through the wars. He's been through all these wars, but I know. But that's a country fighting a country, bro. I'm talking about. I've seen, you know, our own people killing our own people, but not only United American citizens, fucking the same fucking race over and over again. I've seen so much wasted life, brother, and some people that were good motherfuckers. You dig what I'm saying, bro? There's some motherfuckers that they were no good anyway, but still it was a waste of life. You know what I'm saying? But then there's
they just shooting.
It's sad, brother. You know what I mean? And then you see the family, you start, the ones that hurt the mom, man. You see all the mothers crying and stuff. It's just really sad. But then, you know, what happens, you know, you die, and then you're gone, bro. Shit, your life got to go on. So you got to think about that shit, bro. Think about what you're fucking fighting for. You dig what I'm saying? You know? It's a waste, man. You know, it hurts me, bro. And sometimes I just want to, sometimes, bro, I go talk to kids and shit, man, you know. I just want to get him. I want to slap him and say, "Motherfucker, listen to me, man. I've seen this shit. You ain't going nowhere." You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You did it. Yeah, motherfucker, I'm fucking lucky, bro. You know how many times I've been shot? How many times I died in the street over fucking drugs? Fucking being shot. Come on, bro. It's a, you know,
exactly. I mean, I got young 19, 20-year-old kids working with me down on the ships, and it's like. Sometimes it gets up to 170, 80 degrees inside those tanks. And I tell these, and they can only be there like 15, 20 minutes at a time. Come out for 20 minutes, go back in for 20 minutes. And
wow.
They look at me and they go, "Man, this job really sucks." And I tell them the same thing my dad told me when I was a kid. The most four famous words you'll ever hear: stay in school, son.
Yeah, man.
You know, know, Emilio, I've got past life different pictures of what I look like. One of my pictures, I spent 10 years with a Mexican motorcycle club. 10 years, a white boy that can't speak no Espanol. 10 years, I rode the I keep thinking one day what a kick would be to see if we could shoot something in Mexico. A TV series,
wow,
a movie.
What a trip. Well, that's a trip what you're saying right now, man, you know?
Yeah, because we happen to have a real strong connection with the Solo Angels.
I've got 10 years with Mexican Motorcycle Club, so yeah. So you know, for me not speak Spanish, let me tell you, my 50th birthday, they all took me down to the bull ring, and I said, "Oh man, it's great! I never saw a bullfight." So I'm watching the first two fighters get in the bull ring, they get wiped out, and I said, "Damn, this looks pretty serious."
Seriously,
El Norte Americano Bill Kennedy. And I said, damn it, maybe they want me to give a trophy away. I went down, and this Mexican bike club, they made me fight a bull. Well, I fought the first bull. I ran him to the ground. I fought the second bull. They wouldn't let me kill him or anything with that, but you're in Mexico. You got to hold your own ground. You got to hold your
own.
Wow.
Damn,
and you know what? I'll stay here all day. And afterwards, not one of them would say, man, they just kept hugging me and hugging me. But that's Mexico. That's the way it is.
Yeah, man. Wow.
We got somebody else that wants to ask a few questions. Let me bring them in. Hello, Pete.
Hey. How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
So, Pete, how you doing, bro?
Alive, if that counts for anything.
Yeah, I think I had some talk a lot, brother. Yeah, shit.
Had some
Pete, where are you calling us from?
Boston.
Well, I know that, but Emilio wants to know where. Okay.
Emilio, very, very nice. It's an honor to meet you. I'm a big fan. And I had a question that probably nobody else will probably ask tonight. I don't know if anybody's ever asked you this question, but I remember seeing you in a movie called with Vin Diesel.
A Man Apart, brother.
A Man Apart. And here's my question.
Yeah.
I gotta know. You had your eyebrows were actually tattooed in one scene. When they first brought you in. Were those real? Were those drawn in? I mean, because I was always curious for that.
Good question. I get that question all the time, brother.
Really?
What it is? I had to shave off my eyebrows. See, I was happy. I was doing a movie at the same time with Ashley Judd called High Crimes and Morgan Freeman, so I had to keep them on. And they were putting prosthetics for Carl Schoening both movies simultaneously. So they said, okay, Emilio, for the close-up, we're going to wait till you finish that other movie. And so if people can't tell it's prosthetics, we're going to shave off your eyebrows. I said, okay, cool. So I shaved them off, brother. I will never fucking do that again, brother. You know what happened? I'm a hairless motherfucker. I got no hair on me, dog. You know, I get a lot of injuries in me, right? So I call my homeboy. I said, because he did it for a movie. I go, bro, how long does it take for your fucking eyebrows to grow back? He goes, bro, fucking 6 days. Well, this motherfucker's a hairy fucking motherfucker. He's a bear. You know what I'm saying? For me, bro, it took me 6 weeks. I had to go to the fucking premiere 2 weeks later, right? I try to paint him out like a fucking drag queen, bro. You know what I'm saying? So for 6 weeks, bro, I wore these big old glasses, bro. And you know what? And now I find out later on that I'm lucky they even grew back, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because I really haven't. I have no hair on my arms. I got no fucking hair on my legs, you know? And I'm really lucky they grew back. But yeah, man, it was kind of like a freaky situation for about 6 weeks, man. That's a great question, though. Everybody asks me that. They do ask me that.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate your answer.
Yeah, but the tattoos, yeah, they were drawn on. They were with a Sharpie, like a clean.
I mean, the scene itself was intense because here you are, you know, standing there waving people in. The plane lands, and you get these badass tattoos as eyebrows.
Yeah.
Wow, this guy's cool.
Thanks for the good
question. Dude,
Thanks. And you know, it's funny now. I mean, it looks scary then, but now you look at the guys nowadays, you know. Bro, they're like 95% tatted up, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's like nothing. Yeah. I mean, think about it, you know?
They look
real,
though, in the movie. They did look real in the movie.
I
can't believe I was
able to. Yeah, I have a guy, Gil Moscow. He's been doing tattoos and different stuff on my face for the past, for the past 15 years. But one of the best in Hollywood, brother.
I just would have never thought that I'd have the honor to ask you that question, being a big fan and everything, you know what I mean?
Oh no, because actually I've had a headshot. I had a headshot from that film, and I would try that one. People would always even the headshot is real, brother. You know,
that scene was great too. I love that movie. You know,
thanks for that. Yeah, I dug it. It didn't do very well at the box office, bro. But you know what? It did well with the DVD sales, so we did okay.
No, I've probably watched it about seven times. I love that movie.
All right, hey, thank you.
Oh, hey, well, they had some, like, great actors in it, like you, you know. Vin Diesel, I have mixed feelings about his acting. He's all right,
yeah.
You know, he's pretty good. But when you have, like, villains with character actors in it, like you, it really
Thank
made
you.
It, you know.
They cut out of my scenes, though, because I was transporting drugs big time. And so they, even in that movie, they showed me how to drive a big rig, you know, because in the movie I was driving a big rig and transport all kinds of shit. And they cut all that stuff up, but, you know, it was a nice thing.
I don't understand
how to ride
why they do, you know. I don't understand why they cut all that stuff out, the best parts, you know.
Well, you know what they do, brother? They'll shoot like 4 hours, and then all they can keep is two. So they just be on the safe side, and they just shoot the shit out of it, and they just pick out the best. I mean, what makes the story work, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool.
That's how
thanks,
that goes.
Man.
It's pretty safe, man. Hey, thank you.
I appreciate
bro.
It.
I appreciate
meeting
it,
you.
My pleasure.
Bill, I'm not feeling too well, so I got to go sit in my chair. My blood sugar is pretty high, so I'm out of here, but I'll catch up with you guys.
Take
all
care.
Right.
Take
care,
Pete. Take care,
Pete.
Thanks
Pete,
again.
Your voice sounds a little bit off tonight. I was kind of pointing at Phil, thinking, you don't sound too good tonight. You better get some rest, old guy.
My blood sugar was 621, which is, you know, way of death. So
wow, bro,
I know. My kidneys almost shut down, so I'm only 43 years old, so I'm just going to go rest and, you know.
Let's make that a hard 3 years.
Man, you know what? Maybe I'll pop the Amanda Pond and the DVD player. Who knows? You know? Thanks again,
care.
And you guys take care.
Take
I appreciate
care,
it,
bro.
Bill.
Thank
for having
you,
me on. Emilio, huge fan of yours. Nora, hi. And you guys take care.
Alicia says that she's sorry she has an early shooting in the morning.
She loves you. Tell him if he ever needs a stripper for the show, she's game.
You got it. Connor, thank you for that. Thank you. I think they're lined up for that one. I think they have. But you know how we always keep that. What's her last name?
Alicia Pleasure.
Okay, there you go. It goes right on time.
We know on this show who's going to call. Mostly
right.
People listen. They text us. They show us all kind of strange pictures. But one never knows indeed.
I mean, we got
it's all good. It's all good, brother. Sure.
We got a question right now about your home turf. And somebody asked, how does the neighborhood treat you?
That's a good point. Where are you living now? Are you just a regular mineral?
Well, I'll tell you what.
We want to know.
I'll tell you what. Before you answer that question, let me answer one. Let me say one thing, Emilio. I went to Emilio's birthday party. It was a block party, Bill. And I haven't been to a block party since I left Chicago. Nobody out here knows what a block party is. If you say block party, you know what they call them now? They call it the garden on the street or whatever downtown. That Thursday night thing they do.
All right. Yeah.
And to me, when I got there, I felt like I was going home because it was a block party where everybody was. They all came together. There was no lines. There was no. You know, everybody was there to enjoy the day and say happy birthday to Emilio. It was a great day. I really enjoyed it.
Do the neighbors, in a sense, resent the fact you bring a lot of attention? Are they comfortable with you? Or are you off the set, you're home. That's where you hold life.
You know what, see what it is? I, that neighborhood right there we were talking about, I used to, I lived there since 1965, and I bought a few homes. I bought over there about four homes I owned over there. Now, what it was, I got divorced about 7 years or 6 years ago. Now I live in Hollywood now, but I go visit my mom because, like, my family's always been together. Like, I live the one block, my mom lives the one block. We're all two blocks apart, the whole family, you know. And what it is, like I said, we're very well known people before the acting. Where we were just very well known for bad guys, you know what I'm saying? I'm the eldest of five crazy brothers. So we were always known. We took care of the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? We never hurt our own. We took care of our own really good, you know what I'm saying? So people always knew to come to us that we could always help out in one way or the other, mainly the other, you know? But what happens is, like sometimes we would get out of hand. A lot of times we get out of hand. So now my people from my neighborhood are my biggest supporters because they were always supporting me when I was a bad guy. Now they say, you know what, this guy changed his life around because they seem out of bad shit too, don't get me wrong, you know what I mean? And it's a lot of love, bro. You know what it is? When I first started doing theater, you know, it was funny because I introduced my homeboys, the street guys that would never even think about going to theater, you know, and they would always take out the whole back row, you know, and I'd walk in and they would go out and perform, and I would always scoot them and go, listen, because there would be a bunch of, you know, normal people going to the theater. And I said, look, bro, if we're in a place out of respect, don't put your fucking writing on the walls, don't be carving into the glass, this and that, and it would be a trip because the whole back rows would always be full of all street guys, bro, you know what I'm saying? They've been my biggest supporters from the get, you know. I remember I used to have a big old tattoo right here on my hand, right here, you know, right here on my, where it was real big on my hand. We did it with a nail many years ago. And I told him, I went over there and had a meeting. I said, listen, bro, I'm doing this thing. This is my new thing now. This thing's got to come off. They said, bro, we'll give you your blessing. You know what I mean? Even though I never really had to ask, I always did it out of respect. You know what I'm saying? They gave me the respect, I gave it right back. Like I said, I'm always about respect. And they said, bro, you got to do what you got to do. Take that shit off, you know? And it was just like that, bro, you know? You never get out of the neighborhood, bro. You just go on with your life. And I've always had that respect, bro, you know?
You know, right now, I just took a look. We're also in Ireland.
Good. Irish people. Aaron Gobrah. We need more Irishmen out here. Gotcha.
Ireland, Belgium, Argentina, Taiwan, Brazil, France, India, and the Ukraine. Latvia.
Beautiful. Wow, bro, that's beautiful, man. You got a lot of followers, bro. That's really nice, man.
There are a lot of people that listen to the show, and then they...
Denmark.
They just don't... English is not that good, perhaps, or they're just a couple talking to celebrities like yourself. They don't care about talking to Philip and I, but they will come talk to celebrities. So they listen to everything you're saying, and they play the show over and over, so it's kind of interesting.
Right.
Hey, but
that's nice.
From Europe?
No.
Hey, call in Canada, Europe, England. What the hell's going on?
Are you planning on going? I had a question that someone asked. Are you planning on going to the LA Calendar show this year?
I don't, you
I like to go. I had a great time. I think I asked you the year before that, but I make my plans go, but I don't know if I can go because something's always coming up. You know, I know I'm going to Texas next month, but if I'm a union, the following month I'm going to New York, and then in between Sons of Anarchy. And in fact, I started another movie this weekend with, you know, Adam Markin, the one who drew Kids of Bell and Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
He, I started another movie this weekend with him. You know what I'm saying? So. It's my schedule's kind of weird, man. You know, so I always put it on the calendar, and a lot of things I don't make because I'm either booked for something or.
The reason I'm asking is because right now there's a boycott because of the way things are going and the way that they're picking and who they're gonna let in and who they're not gonna let in. You know.
I heard about something like that. Yeah, brother.
The no colors thing and
no colors,
guy,
yeah.
You know, this guy is doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, he, you know, if you dig into a little bit of his websites, he's doing a lot of porn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, don't ask me to do porn. How come no one ever calls me up for porn? Nobody ever calls me up for porn.
Well, he's not doing the porn. He's got a lot of sites, Bill. He's running a lot of businesses.
No, I'm a spectator. I'm a participant. I'm not a spectator. I don't watch porn.
Well, it's like this. You know, people are bringing all that stuff into the equation, and then people would ask me if you were going to go and if you were going to be selling your book or you're going to sell autographed pictures or whatever, and I said, I'm not sure, but I'll ask them because someone asked me the question, and being that I do this and that I try to stay true to everything that I say and do, and if I didn't ask the question, I didn't want to hear from that person that asked me about that.
You were afraid to ask the question, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I really can't commit it to nothing, bro.
He deviated a little bit on this one. Let's talk about your comedy. Now, you got an image, and yet I can't see you as a comedian, and yet you're trying to be a bad guy, but I've heard from people you're funny.
I started with comedy, bro. I used to belong to a skit comedy group when I got, you know, when I first started doing the acting. It was a comedy group, which was great for me because, you know, when you're running the neighborhood, all you do is have this one person that you watch. These people, you just make stone face, you know. So the first thing I got into was just to break out of that stone face, you know. It took a while, don't get me wrong, bro, you know. But if my comedy is, if you watch my comedy, it's pretty much about this me. It's who I am. And I talk about my life as a gang guy, my life as an actor, my relationships, you know, and just make a story. It's a story, bro. It's a story about, you know, my life, you know, but in a funny way.
Well, you know, I had sent you something that you said you really enjoyed. And if you got a minute, I feel that since he told me this was hilarious, Bill, he said, and he likes my comment when I write enough said. Okay. So
yeah.
Give me a minute with this, but this is hilarious, Bill. You might remember this when I start, but this is called the pocket. called the pocket taser stun gun. This is the pocket taser.
Are you going to read it?
Yeah.
Read it, yeah. That's fucking funny, bro.
Okay. Pocket taser stun gun, a great gift for the wife. A guy who purchased his lovely wife a pocket taser for their anniversary submitted this. Last weekend, I saw something at Larry's Pistol in a Pawn Shop that sparked my interest. Usually, that's me when I'm looking for a gun, but... Yeah, the occasion was our 15th anniversary, and I was looking for a little something extra for my wife, Julie. What I came across was a 100,000-volt pocket purse-sized taser. The effects of the taser were supposed to be short-lived with no long-term adverse effect on your assailant, allowing her adequate time to retreat to safety. Way too cool. Long story short, I bought the device, and I brought it home. I loaded two AAA batteries in the damn thing and pushed the button. Nothing. I was disappointed. I learned, however, that if I pushed the button and pressed it against the metal surface at the same time, I'd get the blue arc electricity darting back and forth in between the prongs. Awesome. Unfortunately, I have yet to explain to Julie what the burn spot is on the face microwave. Okay, so I was home alone with this new toy, thinking to myself that it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries, right? There I sat in my recliner. My cat Gracie looking on intently, trusting little soul. While I was reading directions and thinking I really needed to try this thing out on a flesh and blood moving target, I must admit I thought about zapping Gracie for a fraction of a second. I thought better of it. She's such a sweet cat. But as if I was going to give this thing to my wife to protect herself against the mugger, I did want some assurance that it would work as advertised. Am I wrong?
So there I sat in a pair of shorts and a tank top with my reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of my nose. Directions in one hand, taser in the other. Directions said that a 1 second burst would shock and disorient your assailant. A 2 second burst was supposed to cause muscle spasms and major loss of body control. And a 3 second burst would purportedly make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water. Any burst longer than 3 seconds would be wasting the batteries. While I'm looking at this little device measuring 5 inches long and three quarters of an inch in circumference, loaded with two itsy-bitsy AAA batteries, pretty cute, really, and thinking to myself, no possible way. What happened next is almost beyond description, but I'll do my best. I'm sitting there alone, Grayson looking on, her head cocked. The one side has to say, don't do it, stupid, reasoning that 1 second burst from such a tiny little old thing couldn't hurt it all that bad. I decided to give myself a 1 second burst just for the heck of it. As I touched the prong to my naked thigh and pushed the button, holy mother of God, weapons of mass destruction. What the fuck? I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan ran through the side door, picked me up in the recliner, and body slammed us both in the carpet over and over again. I vaguely recall waking up on my side in the fetal position with tears in my eyes, body soaking wet, both nipples on fire, my left my body in the oddest position and tingling in my legs. The cat was mewing sounds I had never heard before, clinging to a picture frame hanging above the fireplace, obviously in an attempt to avoid getting slammed by my body flopping around all over the living room. No, you feel compelled to mug yourself with a taser, one note of caution. There is no such thing as a 1 second burst when you zap yourself. You will not let go of that thing until it is dislodged from your hand by a violent thrashing on a conservative. A minute or two later, I can't be sure, as the time was relative at that point. I collected my wits with what little I had left, sat up and surveyed my landscape. My bent reading glasses were in the mantle of the fireplace. The recliner was upside down and about 8 feet or so from where it originally was. My triceps, right thigh, and both nipples were still twitching. My face felt like it had been shot with Novocaine, and my bottom lip weighed 88 pounds. I had no control over drooling. But was too numb to know for sure, and my sense of smell was gone. I saw a faint smoke cloud above my head, which I can't believe came from my hair. I'm still looking for my testicles, and I'm offering a significant reward for their safety. P.S. My wife can't stop laughing about my experience. Loves the gift, and not really any friends to use it. Or friends be with it. If you think education is difficult, try being stupid.
And I say this to me, you're not supposed to laugh at your own jokes. You're supposed to tell the story straight.
He said, "Don't send that to me while I'm back." Well, I fucking laughed my ass off, bro. I had to share that. That was great.
Well, Bill, it says, you know, the first sentence is just try reading this without laughing.
No. The sad thing is you've done it, what, three times now?
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
Yeah, but the first time when you guys read it, I laughed so hard, I was crying and my sides were hurting. It was so funny.
Well, that's hilarious, man. That is hilarious.
Now you do comedy as well? Did you just start that recently?
Yeah, no, this year I've only done like about 4 shows, you know, I'm very selective now with the shows and but in the beginning I used to, what happened the first 10 years, I used to like travel a lot, but I really got burnt out, man. I really got burnt out.
Right.
A lot of overnighters and stuff. And it was, I didn't find it wasn't fun no more. It really wasn't fun no more.
Now, do you travel with book signing or do you just stay in California?
I travel with the book signings, oh yeah, and the autograph signings, yeah.
Right. Is there any future for possible Chicago, or you don't know?
It depends who books me. You know what I'm saying? I know my next one. Maryland. I'm going back to Maryland. I think in September. I have a couple of signings over here. It's all about who books me, you know.
Nora,
hold on a second. The book we're talking about is called Mugshots.
Mugshots.
It's a celebration of the journey from ruin to redemption.
Yes, sir.
And how can they go online? Look at that. How can they go online?
Well, I'm not sure how they can do that. I didn't get a chance to ask.
How can people find more about this book?
Right now, you can just hit me, go to my fan page on Facebook and hit find it there, and I'll go to my regular Facebook page. But then, like I said, when the website opens up next month, there'll be I'm having four t-shirts coming out. So my nickname is Lefty. My production company is Left Out. Now, it was Left Out, you know, this mainly for like a left leg. And we've all been left out one way or the other, you know what I'm saying, in our lives, you know. The pyramid that asked me, they got people on the team, maybe they left out the kid that nobody really cared about. So that's the name of my company. So I have these t-shirts that are coming out called Left Out, you know, and most of the part of the money that I make on that goes to all the little league teams, not just in my neighborhood, but all over the neighborhoods now, because even though what happens, a lot of people, a lot of kids can't afford to just play ball, and I think it's very important whether to play baseball or football, even though I ran with the gangs for a long time. So that little time that I played ball, I mean, I played ball since I was 5 years old, and the time that I was on the field, I could not be in trouble. You dig what I'm saying? I love baseball, you know, and I played it for a long time. And for those 3 hours I was on the field, maybe that's what kept me alive. And now these people, now they're closing these programs down. So what I do is, I have four teams I sponsor right now on the download. You know, I just pay for their league fees. And just to keep the kids, you know, to be kids, you know what I'm saying? Because if you don't give them that, bro, they're going to find other things, and they're not going to be good things, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to help out the kids over here.
You know, Emilio, we got somebody that's made us a little writing here. Stormy Montana.
From Nashville, Tennessee.
She's quite a outstanding recording artist. And she says to tell Emilio that if he comes to Nashville for a book signing at any point, give her a shout and she'll give him some good moonshine.
All right. I've had that moonshine, you know, and I love Nashville. I've been up there for to Center Hill Lake, and I've been up there for like about 9 days or something. You know, I had a great time. I used to go to Memphis a lot, you know, and I was Stephen Cropper. He's a famous guitar player, a real cool cat. And Donald Doug Dunn, who just lost a couple of months ago. And I've had some great times over there. To tell her, I would take her up on that moonshine to give it to my brothers so they go crazy, because I can't drink that. You know, I've had that when I was in Alabama many years ago and shit. I don't remember how I got home. You know, that's some good stuff.
We have another request here from Fran Del Santo. And Emilio, she wants to know, is your father still alive?
My father died. My father died 11 years ago, man. He was through complications of diabetes. He had a stroke from that. And he was 57 years old, man. You know, love my dad. You know, we never really could, really get a my dad died. Shit, man.
So my dad hard. Died when I was 18.
Yeah, my dad.
He did Vietnam, so we never, even today, wow. I've got pictures of him in my house, but he's only 39 years old. I can't even.
How old was he?
He was in the Army. He died at 39 years old. Wow. I was 18 years old, and I had no idea what it would be like if he lived. But this lady wanted to know what your dad would have thought about you being an actor. Would he enjoyed that? Would he have been a proud
you know,
of
you? No. That's what I was going to say. You know, me and my dad, like I said, you know, my dad brought me up to be this rough, tough guy, you know, and to always be working. So I had already been working 10 years as an actor, and he would always, and he didn't know I was doing it full time, you know, and he would be like, he would come and visit, and say, and don't ever fucking quit your day job. And, you know, and I didn't want to tell him that I had did it already 2 years ago, I mean, 4 years ago. And you know, he never dug it, bro. You know, it was weird because, you know, I remember I used to wear a long ponytail, you know, and he came home, you know, I used to fly him in from Texas every year, and in front of everybody, my dad was very young. I love my dad. He didn't know how to love. He's just very old school. And he would see me. He goes, "You got that fucking long hair? Why are you a faggot?" You know, literally like that. You know, and I'd be like, "Well, Dad, you know, I'm making good money. I work a lot." He goes, "You got a fucking earring." He goes, "Maybe next time I come over here, the boy cut your dick off." You know. And I go, "No, Dad, they don't pay me that much money." You know, he was this old school. This is acting shit is bullshit, right? And it's really funny, bro. It's really funny how it turned on him. He said to me, he called me about 2 in the morning, and he was drunk as fuck, you know? He goes, "Mijo," you know, "Mijo, mi son," he goes, "Mijo, I got home tonight, and I turned on the TV, and I saw you on Walker, Texas Ranger, and you know, when you killed that t-shirt teacher, I was so proud, because I hated my teachers," you know what I'm saying? And from then on, he accepted my acting career, you know what I'm saying? And it was just weird because I killed a damn teacher on a TV show. And he hated the teacher. It was really weird, you know? And still, even over the years, man, you know, he was always like, you know,
good, you know, you're doing good. I see you on TV. He would never give me props, bro. He would never give me props. And it was really weird, man. Then, but then he would call me. He goes, hey, send me some pictures. Yeah, put this name. Really weird shit, man. I said, yeah, Dad, sure, Dad. No, and okay. And I just, yeah, send it fast. Okay, and I'll be okay, Dad. No. And I was sent in when he passed away. I flew to Texas to cremate him. And they took me to all the spots he used to hang out. And you know what, brother? Everywhere, all his spots, my pictures were posted at all the restaurants, the bars. And the people that I met, he goes, all your dad was to ever do was talk about you. He said nothing but great stuff about you. But my dad never told me, bro. It was really weird, you know what I'm saying? So he put out this big macho thing, never told me how much he was proud of me. But he told me.
He waited too long.
And it was touching. You know, it hurt me so bad because I wanted to hear it for myself. You know?
Crazy. Listen, one of the people in San Diego, Fran Del Santa, wants to know about how much these T-shirts will be selling and how soon they'll be available.
They'll be the $25 a piece, bro. And they're tough. Right now we're working on a couple of designs. Pretty tough. It's hard. You know, it's biker shit, lowrider shit. But the two of them have pictures of me, but they're like cartooned out. They're fucking pretty bad. It's left out on top, you know. They're really tough. Look, I got some artists that came in, and I got some people that took some photos, cartooned them out. They're gonna be stuff like you haven't seen, but it's really cool shit, man. And it'll be it's gonna be like a patch in the back, like almost like a biker patch left out. And then I'm also working on a patch. It won't be a club, it'll just be a patch. You know what I mean? It'll be pretty cool, man. It'll be about. They're working on them right now. Actually, we got two prototypes that came out pretty tough. And they'll be coming out in, like I said, in a month, and look through the website. And I'll come on, like, a week before we come out, and that web come on your show, and I'll bump it up, man.
We'll put that on so people can... I'm
sitting here with Bill. We have Mark from Long Beach, but I like Mark.
Mark, hang on 1 second.
He's on mute, but I like him to hang on a second.
He said, Millie and I talked about our dads and the fact that our dads died early and the fact that we never really click with the dads. So I think both my dad was proud, his dad was proud, but just brought something up that...
I'm sitting here with Bill right now, Emilio, and a few months ago, my mom's youngest sister, who's a year older than me, every letter that I ever sent my mother while I was in the Marine Corps, holding in a box in my hand right now.
Wow.
She thought that since my mom passed away that I needed to have these. She sent them to me.
That's beautiful, brother.
I haven't opened the box yet because
it's still sealed, yeah.
It's still sealed, and I'm still kind of...
You'll do it when it's right.
Yeah, I'll do it when it's right.
I
can relate to everything
you
just...
Get a fucking cigar and put yourself in a nice place and get ready for a good cry, brother. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be good for you, brother. Believe me.
We have three of us here who have not led an ideal childhood. And yet, you know what? We've done okay, and I encourage people, I appreciate what you have. Accent the positive. Stand up for appreciated. But let's not get too sentimental. Let me get back over some part. Who wants to talk to you now?
Mark, you're unmuted.
Mark, talk to us so we get out of this emotional thing here.
Hello,
Mark,
hello,
talk
hello.
To us.
Hello, Emilio. This is
Mark.
Up, Mark? From Long Beach here. Great. I actually met you on Sunday. Phil was kind enough to ask me to pose for a picture with my wife and I there. So thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Anytime, but it's my pleasure.
So I had a question. I know you have that Left Out Films, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I saw a film the other day, a short, Broken.
My wife directed. You know, my wife's a writer, so she wanted to see that was her first little film. So I produce it for her, and that's her passion, bro. You know, she was going to the acting thing, but my wife is beautiful and young, and the beautiful young actresses are dime a dozen in Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? Her thing, her passion is writing, so she wrote this one story that she put together in her head, and I said, well, let's shoot it, man. You know, that was our little stomping ground right there, so we'll see who goes from there, you know?
So is that where you see yourself in the future, producing and directing, or do you...
Well, producing, I got one that just produced right now with Ray Liotta. It just got bought in Cannes, and then also Water and Power, which is coming out in December, and I'll be directing my first film in February in Austin, Texas, called Blood and Family. It's in Spanish, it's Sangre y Familia. And, in the long term, that's what I want to be doing is directing, bro. But I have so much to give as an actor so far. I mean, I want to be like Anthony Quinn. You know, I'll be acting to the day I die, God willing, you know?
Yeah.
I, 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 acting saved my life. It's, to me, acting like therapeutic, you know what I'm saying? And over the years, you know, to avoid prison and jail time, I would always have to see a psychiatrist, you know, saying, you know, say that I'm not crazy. And I don't think I'm crazy, and I know I'm not crazy, but, you know, you have to pay that program, you know. And so to acting to me, I get a release, but I get to go shoot guns, I get to go play dead, I get to go shoot people, and nobody gets hurt, bro, you know what I'm saying? It's very therapeutic for me, it really is, man, you know?
Well, that's great. One other question, probably a lot of people want to get questions answered, and I'm just going to ask you real quick. You know, I'm Hispanic. I know you're Hispanic. I know. And when you first started acting, did you find it really hard to get started, or were certain stereotypical roles offered to you, and at what point were you offered more than, you know, the tough guy or the gangbanger or the cartel member?
You know, I've done over 120 roles over the years, and I'll be honest with you, I've played the normal guy, whether it's a cop or the soldier, you know, maybe 20 times, you know. And I'll be honest with you, bro, I have more fun playing the bad guy. I really do, because the bad guy, he's more interesting to watch. You know, if you watch the movie, you always kind of, you want to see what the bad guy is doing. And I like being that bad guy. I mean, I was a bad guy without being the bad guy for real, which was really lousy. And now I just get to play him, and it's a lot of fun, bro. You know what I'm saying? But you know, when I first got in, bro, you know, the people who were behind, who didn't help me out was my own people. My own people didn't want to help me out. It's the blacks and the whites who have helped me out, who have made me come up in this career, in my career, bro. It's really weird, man. You know, we're Hispanic. We're sometimes our worst enemies, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's like And so this, we're coming up, we don't want to see somebody else come up. It's really weird, and it's still that way. I see that right now, and it's really stupid, you know. That's why the blacks and the whites have the television monopolized, because they help each other, bro. And that's what you're supposed to do in life, bro, you know what I'm saying? And that's why we're still trying to come up. Well, when's the year of the Mexicans? Well, when we stop hating on each other, bro, you know what I'm saying? It's weird, man, you know? It's weird.
That goes along with what we talked about earlier, about everybody coming together. To unite. If we all united, man, we'd be a force to reckon with.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, you know, that people, you know, hating on, I'm saying in the same field, you know what I'm saying? Like, whether it's in my acting field, you know, everybody's, like, against each other, which we should be together. Like, if you're in the real estate field, you guys, I want to be the only Mexican doing this. No, bro, there's a piece of pie for everybody, bro. Just share this motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? And once we learn how to do that, bro, you will be successful, bro. You know what I'm saying? People gotta stop fucking hating, whatever race you are. You gotta stop hating. You just gotta be happy for the fellow man, and shit will come your way, man. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. We got some more speakers. We got some more visitors, rather. We got a caller from Michigan. I think this is Teresa.
And we got Stormy from Nashville.
Stormy's on. They're both unmuted. So, Teresa, I'll let you go first, and then Stormy, you can follow
right up.
Teresa, say hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Hey, Teresa.
You were talking about your love of acting and the limitation of roles. Is there any role that you are looking for, and are you now available?
Yes, you know, I'm going to be honest. My ideal role would be to play a mentally challenged person. You know, I think something where you could be free like that. You know, you can do whatever you want to do, because you can't say what's right and what's wrong. You know what I'm saying? That would be my ideal role. And my ideal person I would like to work with is Christopher Walken. I would love that.
Well, I'm a filmmaker. I'm in Michigan right now.
Okay.
And I'm working on a paranormal romance. But our next project is Operation Home Base, and it's a military series.
Oh, great, man. Good for you. You know what? You better hit me on Facebook or hit me with my email and let's talk about this.
I would love to talk to you about it. Phil, can you introduce us?
Right, yes, ahead. I'll take care of that.
That would be great. If you could do that, Phil, that would be great, Phil.
You know, no worries, bro.
There is one role that, you know, it's not a starring role. It is, but it is of an innkeeper, basically a bartender.
Okay.
And... we're still working on, to be honest, we're still working on the funding.
But
I'd love to talk to you about it, and, you know, working together is how we get things done. And I'm a friend of Phil, and you're a friend of Phil, so it would be really great if we could help each other.
Okay, yeah, well, you know what? You'll get my info from Phil, and get my email, and send me the script.
I would love that.
Yeah. And another thing before as far as the park school, actually next week I have a movie that opens up with you guys know Charles Dutt, remember Charles Dutt?
Right.
The Rock.
Right.
I have a movie starring opposite of him. It's called The Obama Effect, and I have a wife and I have three kids and I don't kill nobody. I'm like a regular father, you know, saying a father who looks like me, you know. And it was really cool because when I got the gig. I told The Rock, I told Charles, I go, you want me to shave my stuff? How come I look like a normal? He goes, no. He goes, there's fathers like you out there, and that's who you are, and that's what I want you to play, which was beautiful, man, because a lot of people, you know, I hardly ever play the father role because they say, you know, I look like a murderer, I look like a killer, I look like a biker, I look like a gang guy. But you know what? Even though if I was all those guys, I still have family. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I raise four kids, you know what I mean? There's, you know, there's a lot of us out there, you dig? But nobody, everyone wants to see that clean cut guy, and no, that's not the way it all is, you know? So I'm glad he gave me the opportunity to play, to look the way I look and still be a father without killing my kids, you know?
Well, yeah. This guy, you don't know too much about him. He owns a bar, and he gave the wife of a friend a second chance because she's a little bit of a psychotic. And the scene that is actually speaking, he knows his friend jogs in the woods, and he goes to tell his friend that, you know, she blew it again, and I'm firing her, and you better get her help. So basically, he's just a good guy who wants he owns a business, and
great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'd like to read the whole thing. It'd be great.
That's right.
So we got to cut you a little short because we are running out of time, and hopefully
I understand.
But we also have got Stormy Montana from Nashville. You're out there, Stormy?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, Stormy, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Stormy, I told him about that moonshine.
I heard. Good. I'm serious now. If you're ever in the area, just hit me up and I'll get you some.
And we got, yeah, thank you. So I can't drink no more moonshine because I go crazy. I got 22 years. I haven't drank no kind of liquor. But I get a little bit of that and bring it back home to my body. But I can't smell it. I can't smell it. Or that might get me dizzy, though. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I honestly didn't really even have a question. I just wanted to call in and yak for a second. Hadn't called in a while.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Rory, let's tell me a little bit about what you do. For a young lady, you have a little bit of a career going already. Tell us about what you do, please.
I run my mouth a lot.
I sing, okay.
And I play guitar.
Good for you. You get records out, albums out, CDs out, blah, 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 blah.
No,
blah.
I happen to be so humble. No, I happen to have one left of your CDs, Stormy, and I will give it to Emilio.
Well, there we go.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I've been up to Nashville a few times. I've been up to Center Hill Lake up there. It's really beautiful, you know. And
if you come down this way, you're going to have to bring that youngest little boy. I'm telling you, I have you on Facebook, and he is the cutest thing. That's one of my favorite pictures.
Thank you so much. So what you got to do tonight when I go on Facebook, you got to hit me up and be sure to message me. That way we can, I can message you back. How's that?
Absolutely. That sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You know, since we have her on the phone,
Stormy, hang with us
for a second. I have all the songs that you send me from 1 to 15.
Oh Lord!
If you were gonna play a song for Emilio, what song would you play?
I don't know. What kind of stuff do you like?
No.
What do you want him to hear?
What do you want? We want to know what you want him to hear because.
We played no music tonight. We should always have something in there.
Right.
Give us one of your favorites.
Now, you're confusing the little country bumpkin here, putting her on the spot. There's Someone Like Me.
Yes, I like that one.
Right.
Someone Like Me.
Kind of bluesier.
Yeah. I like the title. That's nice.
It's on right now, so you can hear. We've never had to show without one song, so I was kind of worried about that. So everybody hang on a little bit. Let's kick some sounds in here.
All right. It's loading up right now.
And hopefully I got a minute to ask Emilio a couple of pertinent questions as we get done. Hopefully.
We will.
Well, if it doesn't start pretty soon, I'll start singing.
Well, why doesn't Stormy start singing? If Richard's song made her start singing.
Oh, it's one song. It's Happy Trails.
So we end the show with the one.
Now, Roy Rogers?
Yeah, so we end the show most times. Sometimes. Well,
here we go.
Oh, here we go. Are we ready? Our good friend Stormy Montana, Nashville, Tennessee, someone like me.
To that one, but I have a video to a couple of other songs that were on my CD.
Okay,
But do you have that song? Is that up on YouTube? I mean, is it up at YouTube at all, though? On YouTube at all? Because I always put it, if you look at my Facebook, I always put up a quote of the night of a song of the night. And that's, man, that song was tough, man. Really good. And it's really, really jazzy. I really like that. It was really cool.
Well, thank you. I can probably figure out a way to get it on there. I'm a little bit of a high-tech redneck, so I'm going to take it if I can figure it out. But I'll send it to you as soon as I can figure it out.
I can send it to him for you when we're done.
Philip can send it up, Stormy.
Yeah, Phil, if you can put that, up on Phil, if you can send it to my page, and I'll put it up tonight. Well, that's a very cool song.
Well, I'll send it to you in an email, Emito.
Great, man. Yeah, that's cool, man. Shit.
It's got the little jazzy blue thing that I kind of like so much.
That's why I like that stuff, bro. I like stuff with stories behind it. That's the only kind of music I listen to anyway, you know. I'm into old school college, bro.
There we go.
I like stuff with stories of pain, you know, shit you can feel. You know? I mean, I can't get into this other stuff that people are just yelling and shit. It makes no sense to me, you know.
Well,
yeah,
I'm going to send you her other song.
Really the lyrics anymore.
Send you her other song, too. It's called Barstool Logic.
Okay. Barstool Logic. Yeah. I got that.
You know,
I got that already.
Let me ask Amelia one or two more questions, which is kind of important, I think. Philip mentioned earlier, I'm from South Boston. I'm from the Irish neighborhood. 306 degrees, as far as I can see, we're all Irish. Being an Irish-American, I'm proud to be an American, greatest country in the world. But I'm proud of my Irish ancestors. You need to know your past and know your future.
Hold on, let me get my dogs away here. Okay, I'm here, bro.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, Phil said I'm from South Boston. I grew up in the all-Irish neighborhood. I am Irish-American. I'm very proud to be an American. But I believe you have to know your past to know what your future is. If you don't know your past, you have no future. I found out that most people in America don't know about the Irish history. They know we're fighters, they know we drink. That's about it. Let me ask you a little bit, in your acting career, have you given any thought ever to maybe bring in some more recognition to my next-door neighbor in Mexico? You ever thought about doing anything about bringing some of that history or being?
You know what, bro? What Hollywood brought out of it is the numbers, bro. Unfortunately, most of that kind of stories don't make money, so I'm not really interested in doing that. I'm talking about, it's really sad, you know what I'm saying? What it is, well, you go back up to generations, like they had a movie, Christ of the Greater Glory.
Yep.
And it's a great movie, bro. It's just a. It's not making no money in the box office. It's really sad, bro. You know what I'm saying? And that's pretty much what Hollywood's about, you know. And what are you going
to make those choices. That's right. That's right.
You know, we also have a friend out of San Diego says that she says, please let him know. She doesn't buy shirts anymore, but she's going to buy one of yours because of you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. It's good. I've seen it, you know, without it, man. You know, people get sidetracked, you know. The kids get sidetracked. I know. Like I said, it gives you teamwork is so important, brother, during at a young age, you know what I'm saying? And you start them young, bro, and it's mainly for the T-ballers and the peewees, the people that are just starting out, because you show them, then they'll want to do it, you know? But if you don't show them that from the beginning, then, you know, they get sidetracked with different stuff.
And I've been to some where the kids are out in the field, and yes, they stay out of trouble, but it's the stands where the fights start.
You know, the adults.
Very true, bro. Very true. I coach ball for some. I mean, not only did I play, but I coach ball for a lot of years. I coach men's baseball, t-ball, men's leagues, female leagues. I just, you know, it's just the camaraderie you can't beat, bro. And it's just a teamwork. You know, it's really a good time. You guys show it from a young age, bro. It's still there in the brain, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You take that with you everywhere you go later on, you know.
It's true. I'm sending you those songs right now, but I'm also going to send you this other, you know, the story like the pocket taser. This one is called
the. Where the hell do you get these from?
Hang on.
Where the hell do you get these from?
Bill. Who'll send me this stuff?
I don't get this.
This one is, well, it's because you think the computer's the devil.
I'm telling you it's from the devil.
This
or
one,
Area 51. That's where the damn thing came
okay,
from.
Okay, but this one is called the Steakhouse Incident.
Okay.
Yeah. This one's hilarious. It's coming right now.
Oh, okay, you got it, brother.
You know you're a strange person, don't you?
I love also hit me up on Emilio Rivera 48 on Twitter. You can get me there anytime. And my fan page at Emilio Rivera on Facebook on the official website, you know.
I have your like page, but I can't get your actual Facebook page. Yeah. You've exceeded your friend limit.
Yeah, that one's going to be taken down pretty soon anyway, so if we go to the Emilio Rivera official fan page, and also on Twitter, on Emilio Rivera 48, you can get me anytime. Okay?
All I can say is it was an honor. You're a wonderful actor, and it was just a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hey, bro, anytime, bro, like I said, I like to come up here a couple of weeks, you know, in a couple of weeks again. My website will be coming out, and like I said, in about a month, and I like to go 1 week ahead of time before it opens, and that way I can let everybody know what's going on, brother, okay?
And then there's one more thing I wanted to share. You know, Rusty has his Attica 7, and he has the new lead singer, and his name is Evan Seinfeld. And he came up with this thing that goes on this song that they put together. It's called Redemption.
But it's a good way to end the show.
This is what I want to end the show with tonight. And I want everybody just listen to the words of this.
So I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Thank you very much for coming on.
Something that wasn't true.
Here, hang on.
What are you doing?
No, hang on.
Hand off my leg.
Don't start. No,
before it starts, it was great to talk to y'all.
Here, Stormy.
And it was great getting to talk to you, Emilio, and you too, Miss Nora. And you guys, I love y'all, and I'll try and call in more often.
Okay. Well,
take care.
But like I said, this
we're
going to
end it right now.
No, we're going to end it for just this part right here. But yeah, everybody needs to listen to the words of this.
What would you do if everyone you knew turned their back on you for something that wasn't true? They point their fingers at you.
Okay, wait till it comes up there. I want to get a basic point result.